Now, I mentioned on the show last week that I had recently digitized some old slides for a relative, and this got me thinking about all the other pictures laying around. That big tote full of, you know, printed off film pictures, files and files of photos and videos on a computer, that old camera with a tape. I don't know what to do with that. I'm probably not the only one, I reckoned, who looks at those boxes of photos and memorabilia and feels overwhelmed at the prospect of sorting and digitizing everything. It's not just analog stuff like photos and documents. How about home videos recorded on older formats like VHS, Betamax, Super 8? Not to mention, once we've done all the legwork of scanning and uploading, what are the best ways to organize and protect the files for the future? Our next guest has been answering questions like this for over 25 years, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. How do you organize and preserve your own photos and videos? Do you have questions for our guest about digitizing photos, videos, maybe even documents? Maybe you're a seasoned pro and you have solutions to share with us. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. J.D. Beersdorfer has been writing about consumer technology for the New York Times since 1998. She's the author or co-author of 8 books on consumer technology topics and co-hosts the podcast Pop Tech Jam. J.D., thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me here.
I understand, J.D., you've been working on your own family archives lately. Help me. How did you start?
First of all, you really just have to go through all the boxes. I've recently inherited a family archive of stuff and were finding all kinds of things, including tintypes, I think, from the late 19th century. But before you get started, I think it's very important to go through all of the boxes, all of the slide carousels, all of the photo albums, see what you've got, take an inventory, and then figure out what's really worth digitizing and maybe what was not really a good shot even back then that you don't need to save. And then once you have all of this stuff and figure out how many formats and things you're dealing with, then sort of make a plan about how you want to go about doing your digitization work. And I think I mispronounced that. It's a long afternoon here on Eastern time.
It works for me. Now, JD, I want to dig into something you mentioned there. I've got all these photos, some in print, some, you know, zillions of pictures of my kids when they were precious little babies. In one mood, I'll destroy lots of stuff. In another, I'm like, I can't imagine getting rid of everything. How do we get in the right lane in determining how much we want to keep and how we set our priorities for what we want to save in the first place?
I think you go. I mean, obviously, there's always the top tier photos that everyone remembers passing around. You know, clearly those are the winners that you want to keep. If there are old family members that you know, a lot of people don't remember, maybe you want to have some reference point for them. When I was going through my own mother's archive, I was finding a lot of photos of people we had no idea who they were. We weren't related to them, and then also. And my grandfather was a big fan of the Ektachrome slides in the mid-century America, and so he would always take slides, and so we've got tons and tons of carousels. But he would also buy slides in the store, and so I would be going through his carousels, figuring out which ones I wanted to convert. And I would see all these store-bought ones of, like, Mount Rushmore. I was like, well, I don't really need to keep that. So I think, you know, you want to get the ones that are deeply personal to you and that just really evoke a strong memory, or they're people that are gone from your life that you want to have this record of them, and start there and then kind of work your way down. Obviously, I think every family's probably got some duds in the batch that you can just sort of push aside, and those will be pretty obvious. You know, here's the picture of Dad's thumb, you know, when he misfired the camera.
The photos are the duds, not the family members.
Yeah. The photos would be the duds. And there's some, too, like when you're going through and you see some prints that are maybe damaged because they've been stored improperly or they're cracked and they're scratched. Don't throw those out immediately because thanks to the miracle of software, you can also repair those digitally once you get them scanned. So even if it looks like it's a hopeless case, there's things you can do in photo editing programs that can really revive your photos.
Let's talk about some of the how-to here. And let's start with those slides you mentioned. And that was my starting point here. I'm fortunate my parents are more tech-savvy than I am. I borrowed a slide converter that you can plug into your computer. What's out there for either technology we can use at home, or you know, are there services we can go to if we don't want to screw around with doing it ourselves?
Yeah, the answer is a yes to both. You mentioned that your parents had a slide scanner. Clearly, they were not messing around with their slides. And if you have a ton that you want to personally scan, investing in the hardware like a dedicated slide scanner that hooks into your computer is a good way to do it. It's time consuming because you're sort of going through. You can go one by one. Sometimes you can gang them up depending on the model. If you've just got a handful of slides and you want to play around, there's actually smartphone apps that you can do that will capture transparency, either film negative or slides. It can be a little hinky just with the getting it to focus right. But if you just got a handful and you just really want to get these few photos, it's a low cost investment to capture that way. Kodak makes a little box thing that opens up, and you can put film and slides in that and put your smartphone on top and capture the film that way. It illuminates it from the bottom, because that's the thing, as you know, with transparencies, you have to illuminate them from the back so that you can see the image, since that would be normally how you would view them. If it was a slide, you'd have the slide projector with the light blasting through. You can make your own slide carry. If you have a traditional flatbed scanner, there are slide attachments you can get. I think Make Magazine did a little how-to hack where you can get some silver paper and sort of make the backing thing that illuminates it. It's a lot of work. So if you've got, say, 75 carousels full of slides that you're sort of looking at, first of all, go through and sort those. What I did when I was faced with over 300, I think, I'm going to send these out. It's about 20 cents a slide, depending on where you send it, but there's some good services: scanmyphotos.com, DigMyPics, Memories Renewed, which I believe is right over next door in Minnesota, does a ton of all kinds of analog conversions, and they will give you a price on per slide. But what a lot of them will do is you send off your slides, they get them, they log them. Some services will let you decide which ones you want to keep. They'll scan them all, and then you'll see the preview, and then you see the duds in there, and you can choose not to have them saved. But what you get with a service is they're professionals, they're used to doing this, they have the equipment, and they also scan everything at a high enough resolution that you can make really nice prints from these slides. Because, as you know, the actual image on a slide is what, 1.5 by 1 inch away. So you have to scan at a really high resolution to get that to be any bigger. And having a service that just does this for their business, they will just crank it through. You know, it may take a few weeks for you to get your stuff back. And you do have to trust sending your media to this company, but usually they FedEx it back and forth. And I did not have a problem when I had it done. And it was not all that expensive when I factored in what it would cost me to buy the equipment to do it, what the time factor would be, the sort of hit or miss frustration factor till you found exactly the settings you wanted to use. I said, I'm going to send these out and help the local economy there.
Talking to J.D. Beersdorfer, consumer technology columnist at the New York Times, finding out how to scan, preserve, and organize our old photos, videos, documents, and more. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What do you do with old family photos, personal photos? Have you had a project in the last year or so going through stuff, deciding what to keep, what to get rid of, what to scan, how to save it? Do you have questions about how to do any or all of the above? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up next on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with New York Times consumer technology columnist J.D. Beersdorfer, talking about creating and maintaining a personal digital archive, what to do with all those old photos, whether printed off or on our computer, videos, and more. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you doing something like that now? Have you found solutions on what to save, how to save it? Do you have questions about how to do it? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. JD, let's go to the storage side of things now. You know, I have gigabytes, I think, of photos and videos. I'll have more if I scan that tote full of photos and whatnot. I keep old hard drives around as a backup. I'd like to get rid of them. What are the best storage methods out there right now?
A lot of people are fans of the cloud, you know, the ubiquitous cloud up there. And online storage has gotten a lot less expensive over the years. And Google and Apple or Dropbox, whoever, will be happy to sell you more space. For a few dollars a month, if it's something that you think you want to do. I I usually do an online storage and I'll do a local storage, but with online, if something happens to your house or whatever, you have your all of your precious memories are stored up there in a cloud on somebody else's server far away. That's something I always keep in the back of my mind, even though it may cost, a few bucks a month. It's worth it for that peace of mind. I also do keep hard drives like yourself. I have some of the very small, compact, basic hard drives. But the thing with storage media, as we discovered also from back in the days of videotapes, legacy formats tend to go away after a while. And it's say if you had a bunch of photos stored on a zip drive, they don't make those anymore. So you really have to be careful when you're deciding how you're going to store these things. A lot of people will do archival CDs and just keep a CD player or a DVD player around for that purpose. But then you also have to worry, well, are the computer makers going to be able to accept attaching a CD player to a computer 10 years from now? So it is kind of worrisome. Which is why I tend to just keep it in a digital format of some type and then keep it on either a solid state drive, a hard drive, the cloud, again, and make sure it's a trustworthy company too, that you have security options in case you do have anything personal there. You want to be able to lock down your stuff and make sure the company's not going to go out of business and take all of your files with it.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Philomena is with us in Viroqua. Philomena, hi.
Hi. So my question is more around editing. I have old 16 millimeter film that was converted to DVD. However, a lot of those films were not in the, some of the scenes are real hard to see or they're dark or whatever. Do you have any suggestions about free, and I want to stress the word free, applications that could be used for editing video?
Oh, interesting question. What do you got?
Free is always a, there's a lot of open source software. If you are technically inclined, I'm going to go looking. People have probably made some video applications. When I've had to digitize and edit film or stuff that's been converted to film, I've used QuickTime on the Mac before, which usually comes, there's usually a version of QuickTime with the software. The old iMovie program, you can pull stuff in and do some editing there if you're Windows. I have not done a lot of Windows lately, but I think there are probably some applications that Microsoft has made. But it can be very, there's such huge files too, and I think iMovie will let you do clearly like trimming, the bad stuff out of the clip if it's something, you got a dead spot in the middle of nothing happened, and then you just really want to have the highlights. It'll let you trim stuff, and but before you do, just make sure you keep a backup of the film in case you do edit wrongly. I would just browse your local software archives and see, because a lot of people will, software developers are very generous sometimes and they want to share their skills. So much like people who can't afford Adobe Photoshop will find the software GIMP. That works for Linux, and it's also multi-platform, that you can do pretty much everything you do in Photoshop with that, and it's free because it's open source. So there are probably some video editors out there. If you're looking for audio, Audacity is a great audio editor as well.
Thanks, Philomena. Good luck. Hope that helps. Joyce joins us now in Chautauqua. Joyce, hi.
Hi.
Hi, Joyce.
Thank you. Yes, hi.
What did you want to tell us about?
I was wondering about, I have some negatives. My grandpa was a photographer in the early 1900s, and I have some negatives that are like probably 18 to 20 inches long, and they're rolled up because they're more than 100 years old. And so I'm wondering, I would like to get them developed because they're history for our area here in Barron County. And I was wondering, what should I do? I've called around to museums, and, there's no help out. Nobody develops negatives very much anymore.
Joyce, interesting. Any advice, JD?
Yeah, so this is undeveloped film that has been, the pictures have been shot, but it just hasn't been developed, or it's negatives that you just need to have prints made from the negatives on the roll.
Now, do you know which it is, Joyce? Are they undeveloped, or you just need
some
prints?
No, if you roll them out, they're negatives. You can see people and figures in barns and houses.
Okay, so they're film negatives. It may takes a little bit of research, but I might say if memories renewed over there in the Twin Cities might do, they do pretty much everything I've thought of that you would want to convert. It's an older format, so they may have to get more information about it if it's not, you know, just like a 35 millimeter, which is a standard, or see if there are any local photographers or photography schools that may have older equipment that could handle making prints from these. You mentioned historical societies, but maybe if you go more to an educational environment where they're teaching photography and have some of the old historical stuff, they might be able to help you out. If not, I would go to a just call around to a film digitization service and see if you know, people who would normally just make prints from regular negatives, if they could handle this particular format that you have from your grandfather's cameras.
Joyce, good luck. Sounds like a great resource. JD, I'm in a position where I'm just like overwhelmed by the task, the big tote full of old photos. Can you leave us a little pep talk on tackling this and knowing that we can actually get something done?
Just psych yourself up. What I like to do, if I have a, if it's small stuff, there's a couple of phone scanning apps that I use. So like, if you thought I'm going to be training my computer all day, I'm going to be stuck with a scanner. There's a lot of great mobile scanning apps, Adobe Scan, that you can, and Google's Photo Scan too, which is great because it will automatically stitch together like curled prints and glare on photos and stuff and clean them up and make them nice. So I'll just put a stack, have a nice area, clean area, work area, put on some music, just sit there, and whether I'm using the phone or whether I'm flatbedding, just kind of rock out, you know, listen to a podcast, listen to some music, just kind of get into the groove. And before you know, you'll have, you know, 10 or 15 of these things scanned. Once you get the scans on your computer, you can show them off to friends, clean them up, you know, make them look real nice. I think that might inspire you to go on because you're capturing this history. You're putting it in a new format. You can share it with friends and family who never would have had a copy of this photo before. And you can be proud of yourself for that.
JD, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's JD Beiersdorfer with the New York Times giving us advice on storing, digitizing, scanning our family photos and videos.